The first reading for the Feast of All Saints is written in the Revelation to St. John, chapter 7. Then I saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun with the seal of the living God. He called with a loud voice to the four angels who have been given power to harm earth and sea, saying, "Do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads." And I heard the number of the sealed, 144,000 sealed from every tribe of the sons of Israel. 12,000 from the tribe of Judah were sealed, 12,000 from the tribe of Reuben, 12,000 from the tribe of Gad, 12,000 from the tribe of Asher, 12,000 from the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000 from the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000 from the tribe of Simeon, 12,000 from the tribe of Levi, 12,000 from the tribe of Issachar, 12,000 from the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000 from the tribe of Joseph, 12,000 from the tribe of Benjamin were sealed. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these, clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle is written in St. John's first letter to the church, the third chapter. "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah.
Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the gospel of the Lord. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The most blessed feast of all saints to you tonight, dear ones. Blessings to you as we gather and feast this evening in solemn remembrance. Tonight especially we commemorate and remember not only all the faithful departed, all the blessed saints who have gone before us and are now with Christ in glory, but we also feast in remembrance of how God's people become saints in the first place and what it means to be a saint. The word itself in English comes from the Latin word sanctus, meaning holy and sacred. And this, in essence, is what it is to be a saint. It's what saints are. They are those who are holy and sacred unto the Lord. They are those clearly designated as such by him and for him. They're devoted to him and set apart by him for his special purposes, in a special way. And we have an image of all of this in our first lesson from the Revelation of St. John that is just as beautiful as it is utterly astonishing. St. John is given to see an innumerable host, an uncountable multitude, people from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, all gathered and joined together as one in worship, with shouts of triumph and acclamation ringing out. They are offering sacrifices of praise in the presence of the Lord. They are clothed with dazzling white robes and conducting themselves as holy priests before him, as those who have been enveloped in his holy light and have been completely consumed, but by no means destroyed, in the holy fire of his awesome glory, set ablaze with pure joy and devotion to him, which will never smolder and will never cease. Truly, it is a magnificent vision St. John lets us in on of the saints in heaven coming out of the great tribulation. It's a vision filled with otherworldly splendor and awe. And it leads us, quite naturally, I think, to marvel at how these things can be When people from every tribe and tongue and language, including us and ours, have been defiled and soiled with sin. How can these things be? Because we can't just pretend as if our sins don't matter, as if they were just some insignificant, barely noticeable little stains that can be easily overlooked or removed with enough scrubbing and effort on our part, enough elbow grease. No, that's not how it works. Sin makes us unholy before our holy God, who sees and knows all things. And sin makes us unclean before the one who is the perfection of purity. And this becomes, of course, painfully clear and obvious to us, dear ones, when we know we've transgressed the holy commandments of God. When we realize that we have been completely mired in the muck and putrid filth of sin. And we know, in those moments especially, that we certainly don't deserve to be called saints. No. And also that all the bleach in the world cannot cleanse a defiled conscience. And what good is trying to cover over our sins by our own efforts, as Adam and Eve did with fig leaves, when the Lord can see right through it all anyway, and when he will consume every unholy thing in the fire of his wrath just the same? What does it matter? This, in fact, is an important way in which God is described in the Holy Scriptures. To quote the letter to the Hebrews, it says this: our God is a consuming fire. And you'll recall, of course, that he appeared on Mount Sinai before God's people of old in a blazing, devouring fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest. And the sound of his voice was such that the Israelites begged for him not to speak to them anymore. So terrifying was the sight that even Moses said, "I tremble with fear." There was no song of praise that rang out from him at that moment. And all of this fundamentally captures the experience of sinners in his holy presence, apart from his saving work, and apart from becoming holy ourselves. But by the Lord's pure grace and mercy, and in his great desire for us to be his own people, a kingdom of royal priests unto him and for him, and for him to be our holy God, he provides the way to make us holy, to make us his saints, by the blood of the sacrificial victim whom he put forth to atone for our sins, to cover over and blot them out before him, and then to consecrate us, even us, forgiven sinners, as sacred unto him, and set us apart to serve him in holiness, both now and into the coming ages. When the old covenant or testament was made between God and his people, Moses spilled the blood of an innocent sacrificial animal and sprinkled half of it over the altar that was set up, and the other half over people called to be God's own. The innocence of the sacrificial victim offered on the altar was then being applied and reckoned to God's people, to the people of Israel, who of themselves were not innocent. And the life in the blood that was spilled gave the Israelites new life and communion with God as his people, set apart by him and for his purposes, to be the vessel through whom the Messiah would come and save the world. And now, in the fullness of time, the Lord Jesus has come, both as our new and ultimate high priest and the perfectly innocent Lamb of God, offering himself on the altar of the cross, spilling his holy blood to take away the sin of the world. Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant, the new testament between God and man, through his shed blood that we'll drink here in just a few minutes, and that has been applied to us in holy baptism, which now saves us and clothes us with his unblemished righteousness. By his blood, our robes are made white, our consciences are sprinkled clean from the defilement of sin, innocence is restored to the fallen, and we are thus consecrated to God as royal priests in Christ, a holy nation from all nations, and a people for God's own possession, and we are thus his holy ones. We are thus his saints. And this is very different. It's a very different way of thinking about sainthood than what we find in the Roman Catholic Church. Very different. For someone in the Roman Catholic way of thinking to be canonized as a saint, a person must be dead for at least 5 years, and the Pope must recognize them as having lived a heroically virtuous life. And then there's, of course, a rigorous investigation into that person's life and their writings. And two miracles, not one, but two miracles, have to take place through that person's intercession. That's how the Conference of Catholic Bishops describes the process of becoming a saint. But that's not how the Holy Scriptures do. That's not the picture we see painted for us there. No, it's not. No, on this All Saints Day, we remember that we are all saints, together with those who have gone before us, saved by grace through faith as the baptized in Christ. And today we renew our desire to live holy lives in the Holy Spirit, which we receive from God, devoting ourselves to serve him in great joy out of our great love for him who has called us to be his own. And this day we also remember with gladness and thanksgiving all the faithfully departed saints, our loved ones, whom the Lord has made his holy ones, who are now in glory before the throne and before the Lamb. And we look forward to the day when we ourselves will be taken from the great tribulation of this life in this veil of tears to take our place among all the rest who have washed their robes in Christ's blood and serve him day and night. For the faithful departed now, they are sheltered in his presence. No threat whatsoever shall come near them anymore. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. There will be no fiery affliction to befall them any more. No, no longer. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and they will forever look on his beautiful face and be devoted to him in glory and the perfection of holiness. And this, dear ones, is your future too, as God's beloved baptized saints in Christ Jesus, to whom is all glory, honor, and worship, both now and into the ages of ages. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.